Coming in from work, I was watching a weather newscast on the hurricane. It showed it about to hit southern Florida. When they showed its track and showed it going back out to sea and hitting the north part of Florida, the Panhandle. But as I watched it, I could see like a different pattern. The hurricane would continue on across Florida and into the Gulf, and it headed towards the Mississippi coast. So I believe the worst of it will hit there, the Mississippi coast. Yes, you know, some people are seeing the Mississippi coast. Some are seeing, some have had visions of New Orleans. Let me share one here concerning the, another one concerning the Mississippi coast.
Daniel,
yes.
That may be very true, because as we know, when you're on the east side of a hurricane, is the worst.
Yes.
And if it does hit New Orleans,
it'll
take out Mississippi.
Yeah.
You're right.
Exactly.
So it doesn't have to, it's you're better off with a direct hit than to be on the east. Like they say, east is least, best is west. And that's right. How I can always remember what side to be on the hurricane.
The truth is, if Pensacola took a direct hit from a hurricane like this, it would do a lot of damage. But if New Orleans took a direct hit from a hurricane like this, it's going to do 100 times more damage. And the reason is, it's just going to scoop punch train right on over into New Orleans. With us, the coast east of us would catch an awful lot of wind. You see,
as it did with
Ivan. As it did with
Ivan. David, when I was on my way back from Alabama, I was listening to the radio station. And they were telling Pensacola to prepare for a lot of tornadoes.
I wouldn't
respond, because there's bands that are going to be coming over Pensacola, and there's a lot of tornadoes in there.
Yeah. Well, here's one from Lena. Lena sent this revelation. She said, I was wakened at 4:30 this morning, turned on the television, and they had just upgraded this hurricane to a Category 5. I have not been able to go back to sleep. This is a judgment hurricane. Apparently the name Katrina means pure. And in April, I received a dream with the name of Picayune in it. I know Picayune, but she didn't know Picayune. She goes on to say, at which time, I did not know where that city was. I immediately went to the internet and looked it up and found it in the Mississippi Lower Delta region. Of course, it's very, very threatened right now. Okay. It was a disaster warning dream, which I was impressed upon to contact their local authorities. I sent an email to Picayune newspaper on April the 5th about my dream. When she says, excuse me, when she said I was awakened at 4:30, she was talking about back then, not now. I sent an email to Picayune newspaper on April the 5th about my dream for them to contact local emergency authorities about it. And I never received any reply from them. I can imagine. Well, it was true, wasn't it? Because the Mississippi Delta is certainly threatened now, and Picayune is too. Okay. Maybe somebody that got that dream will remember it over there in Picayune. She goes on to say, I also contacted a radio station because of another name given in that same dream, San Francisco. That part of the dream had something to do with a small square box attached to a bridge in San Francisco. Now, that's interesting. However, the first dream felt like a natural disaster and not terror-related. Today, that has been confirmed to me. The Lord said there will be no reprieve on this one, meaning, of course, this judgment going to the Mississippi coast and New Orleans. I have been feeling a great sense of foreboding in my spirit all day, deep in my spirit. One more thing. In the part of the dream referring to San Francisco, I saw a black-haired, slender man in his 30s, approximately, at a desk at a radio station in that city. And I had called him to relay this warning, and I could see that he was amused and not taking it seriously. Well, it's true. You know, the people of the world don't believe in dreams and visions, do they? In fact, I can tell you, a lot of God's people don't believe in them and don't take warning, you know. The overwhelming majority of God's people kind of scoff at them. But we've seen too many of them come true, haven't we, folks? God bless you. Pray for dreams and visions, because they may save your life. They have saved lots and lots of lives. That's what it says in Job, right? Keep you back from the pit, right?
Even God said that He spoke to men in dreams and visions, and they paid Him no heed.
They paid no heed. That's what Job said. So, honestly, pay attention and pray about these things. I got another one. Do you have any, Terry? Okay, I'm going to go on. This one's from Chris Stewart. I found this on the internet. It's by Mark Poole. What I saw in this vision this morning, I heard the abundance of a mighty earthquake having just occurred in the heavens. Let's see if I can find a date on this. Nope, I don't see a date, but it was a while back, let me tell you. I heard the abundance of a mighty earthquake having just occurred in the heavens. A major shift is taking place in God's realm of the spiritual and the supernatural. Yet again, I was overwhelmed that I felt He impressed during this time that our country will experience soon what I saw in the spiritual. Major earthquakes and extreme flooding. Flooding was seen in the central and southern United States. I saw New Orleans literally 20 feet underwater across the main downtown area. Well, that's very possible, folks. I don't know if you knew New Orleans when he prophesied this, or when he saw this, excuse me, but that's extremely possible. New Orleans is just a big bowl. A good bit of it is below sea level, so it's a dangerous place. At this time of flooding in New Orleans, I saw it as a sewer full of debris of every form of garbage floating around and swirling in the flood. The French Quarter will be wiped out in the flood. Can't imagine why. Bourbon Street will be abandoned. Alligators will be swimming where dens of iniquity once abounded. Sin's investors will let go of the territory. This is kind of interesting. They reside in other areas and will be seeing this as a place of unstable investment for future plans of sin. God's kingdom investors will step in and be allowed to bid on properties abandoned by the sin investors. Then the Superdome will be available to purchase for 1/10 of a cent on the dollar. This will one day be called the Glory Dome, as a move of God will be based out of it and make it a healing and restoration center, grabbing worldwide attention. This Glory Dome will go on continually on a 24/7 basis. And he gives a verse, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." Yes.
You mentioned the Superdome. It's interesting that it's the home of the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, the home of the Saints. Right, right. And it's a refuge right now for people in New Orleans. They're fleeing there right now. So that's very, very interesting.
I wouldn't be surprised to see that the people that are there do survive.
Huh?
I wouldn't be surprised to see
that
the people in there will survive.
Yeah, they will. It's in a rather, rather safer part of the world. So, you know what, folks? It's interesting. God's going to do some very interesting things. But
David,
the sinners are going to be abandoning parts of New Orleans. If it went under 20 foot of water, let me tell you, folks, they're not even going to try to repair an awful lot of that town. Again, they won't even try it. They'll just leave it that way. Yeah, Russ?
David, has anybody ever made any prophecies about anything happened in like Washington, D.C.?
Oh, yeah. They're all over our site. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because it's obviously a place where, you know, all the power brokers are. You know what I mean? Where all the most important political people and the global business people, kind of the movers and shakers, make things happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
But there's been lots of prophecies on the site?
Yeah, there's quite a few on our site about it.
Oh.
About Washington, D.C. Let me say that you're listening to Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And for information or materials, you can go to americaslastdays.com. Or you can send a self-addressed stamped envelope to David Eales, Post Office Box 5069, Navarre, that's N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Florida, 32566. We're being broadcast from Spirit One Radio and American Liberty Radio at 89.1, 89.9, and 103.7 FM on most of these stations. God bless you. Well, I've got a very interesting prophecy here. And this came from Carolyn Griffin, sent this to me. And it was given through Chuck Pierce. And it's very interesting. It's right dead on the money concerning what we're talking about, concerning New Orleans. And he prophesied this in Wisconsin, when he was traveling, going to Louisiana. From the north to the south, I am ready to awaken two winds that will shake the nation. There are resisting forces in both states that will cause our nation to not move forward. Go up and down and decree that the wind of God will awaken in both places. The states will shift in a new way, or the nation will not shift and will go backwards. Later, when addressing the Saul structure in Baton Rouge, which is the capital of Louisiana, and I lived in Baton Rouge for many years. I know about the Saul structure over there. Chuck prophesied this. How the Saul structure collapses will bring Baton Rouge again to national attention. That alignment within it will collapse. A new demonstration with a new blueprint will be seen. This will be known as a meeting house. This will be known as a place where the Ark of the Covenant has dwelt. This will be known as a refuge place. The wind and water will rise in the midst of New Orleans. Many from the south will come north for refuge. Prepare, prepare now for winds and water that will surprise you. I will renew the pattern not fully seen before. Worship will be there, and birthed in a new way from here. Prepare, prepare, shift. Saul will be no more. David will arise from this day forward. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why in a few minutes. Saul will be no more. David will arise from this day forth. The wind from the south will begin to blow. Watch for the effects. This will purify the land and bring great change. I can see that. I mean, Sin City and all of the gambling barges and all the other sin opportunities there. God is going to cleanse the land, clearly. Then in Alexandria, that night, Chuck shared from a Song of Solomon's in 4 and 16. It says, "Awake, the north wind. Come, O south wind, blow upon the garden of this nation." He led the people to pray for the south wind to come. This south wind would be a purifying wind, cause corruption to be blown on, and cause corruption to shake, and initiate a righteous move starting with the children, then moving to the youth. We were to watch the government and the Catholic Church shake and watch New Orleans change. Then Chuck prophesied, "I will put a mantle on the African Americans in this land. That which was brought in through parts of this state and held people captive will let go. I will send the wind up the Mississippi River. This wind will shake Missouri. You will see the land shake in Missouri because of the wind from Louisiana. Get ready. Don't brace yourself. Throw yourself up. In other words, catch the wind and keep on going, right? Get ready, for the new is coming. Every place I blow on will shake. The wind is coming to Louisiana, and it will shake the entire state. I will fill churches. The south, purifying wind of my holiness will sweep across Louisiana. People will be on their faces in malls, in shopping centers. Boldness will come upon my people in Louisiana. There is a worship call. Get ready. The wind is about to blow. The river is changing courses. And you will be one of the first that changes. You'll be one of the first that changes. And of course, he talked about a wind and water that will rise in the midst of New Orleans that will surprise you and cause the governments to change. Yeah, Bob was just saying earlier about the mayor, how he should have moved those people out. New Orleans started moving them out much sooner. It's true. I mean, if 100,000 people are still caught in the midst of New Orleans with the Category 5 coming, there's big, big trouble coming there, folks. Well, I mentioned something to you. It's very interesting. I'm going to try to find this for a minute. Hold on just a second here. I'm going to look in my Bible. We just shared last week a revelation Mark Fitz had. Mark Fitz felt firmly that a judgment was coming. And let me see if I have that here. Yes, here it is. Last night, during prayer, I sensed there might be another attack on America's soil. So I asked the Lord when, and I was impressed, I believe, to ask Him how many days until the attack, and show me when I open the Bible and put my finger down on a verse. That will be the number of days until the attack comes. So yesterday, the 19th of August, I opened the Bible and put my finger down upon Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23. That was the verse, 23. Well, I counted 23 days ahead, and you guessed it, September the 11th, 2005. Isn't that interesting? And we found two more visions on our site, by the way, that also point to September the 11th, 2005, as the time of the attack. So I'm guessing that that might be it, folks. Be in prayer and ask the Lord. Well, I asked the Lord to confirm this in a dream that same night. And in a brief second between one of my dreams, I was suddenly flying through the air and coming quickly upon a large building several stories high, I believe. This building seemed to have a lot of glass in it. And I saw this man who had a look of terror upon his face. And I heard in my spirit 911. I thought it was also interesting that the verse was found in Jeremiah 4, which talks about judgment upon Jerusalem. And folks, if you read Jeremiah 4, it looks like a nuclear explosion, taking cities out. Okay. Well, my point was, this thing, this revelation, is being fulfilled of New Orleans is being fulfilled on the, what, the 29th. Okay? Well, 28th, 29th. Okay, well, I got this idea, I went back to Mark's verse. Jeremiah 4, verse 23. And I counted down to the 28th and the 29th. And guess what I get? Verse 31. And I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, the anguish as of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion, that gaspeth for breath, that spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul fainteth before the murderers. Well, that's obviously, the woman bringing forth the man-child, who I've shared with you in the past, is the David ministry. And here we've got another witness of this on the 29th of the Saul's farming and the David's arising. Very interesting. Some little bit of confirmation there. Anybody else? Terry, have a revelation or anything they want to share?
Sister Chris has her hand up. But before I get to that, John England was telling me that he saw a made-for-TV movie on Fox a few weeks ago that was a factual what-if about an F5 or Category 5 hurricane hitting New Orleans and also greatly damaging the oil processing facilities on the Delta south of New Orleans, which supplies 30% of the oil and gasoline to the U.S. market. They've even had a date, September 5th, 2005. I thought at the time that it was ominously prophetic. Now I know it was. It's interesting how it was actually a week, or it's hitting a week before they shared on TV.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, Brad was saying the same thing about the movie. What's the name of it?
It's an FX original movie called Oil Storm.
Oil Storm?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. You know, how many times have movies prophesied judgments coming? It's like, you know that the pagans that made the movie don't really have much prophetic insight, but it doesn't really matter. The Lord moves man's heart any way he wants to move it, right? According to Proverbs. So that's very interesting. I tell you, I don't know how many refineries there is in the New Orleans area. There's two of them that I know of, pretty good-sized refineries there, and it's very much a terminal there. So, I mean, if it was hit and knocked out, it very well could cause a disastrous price hike for gas and heating oil.
Ingalls Shipbuilding over there in Pascagoula. It's Northrop Grumman that carries most of the contracts over in that area for the military and refurbishing of the Navy. And that place is about to get knocked into the ground.
Yeah. Did you have somebody, Terry?
Yeah, Sister Chris.
Okay, Chris. God bless you. Come share something with us.
Okay, I'll try and be a bit louder. My husband just let me know that the New Orleans Saints have a game coming up against the Raiders out of town. And so they were able to leave New Orleans early. And I think that's pretty pathetic. But the reason I wanted to share with the brethren tonight is that my family and I lived in New Orleans for over 30 years, and so I'm familiar, intimate with the city. And in 1995, I had a series of four dreams in April of 95. And in May, the following May, we had a pretty bad flood in the city. Now, my dreams indicated a flood, but I knew in my spirit that that's not what the Lord was talking about. There would be a greater one coming up. And I was a baby Christian at the time. I didn't know my Bible. But one of the dreams, I woke up with the word ma'am. And I knew how to spell it, and I knew in my spirit that it was in the Bible. So I found it, and I read through it. And as I did, the Lord revealed to me that, if you know the book of Nahum, the book of Nahum is about a prophet that was sent to the city of Nineveh in Assyria before Jonah, I believe, or after Jonah. It was after Jonah. And the Lord showed me many parallels in the scriptures between the city of New Orleans in the city of Nineveh. Okay, can you hear me still? These dreams were, like I say, I was new to the Word, and I'm new to knowing the Lord, but He just blew me up in sort of a quick way with this. I'm going to read to you something that I wrote, in 1997, 2 years later, a prophet came to town. It was Pastor Dan Bowler, and he's out of Missouri, and he was traveling with, he was on tour with the Prophecy Club in Kingsley, New Orleans, and what he would do is when he would go to a city, the Lord would give him specific warnings of judgment for that particular city. And the things that this brother was saying were lining up with what the Lord had showed me 2 years earlier. So I want to read to you just a little bit of what I wrote. I wrote down the dreams and I sent them out. And I wrote, these dreams and conclusions have not been widely broadcast. I shared them with my husband, Ray, who in turn spoke to a brother that he knows at work. My husband worked at Avondale Shipyard. This man told my husband that the Lord had lately been bringing him passages throughout the Bible concerning the city of Nineveh, and that he had determined that the city of New Orleans and the historical location of Nineveh were on the same latitude on the map. I didn't confirm this, but what I did was I looked at the map in my Bible, and I saw that the city of No, which is in Nahum 3:8, is actually the city of Noamon, and it refers to the ruling god of the city of Thebes, which is located on the Nile. I'm sorry, the dog was after my mic wire. Anyway, when I turned the map upside down, I saw that New Orleans and Nineveh basically looked the same. The Nile River went south to north. And so I turned the map upside down, and it just looks almost like the map of the city of New Orleans on the Mississippi. So I wanted to share some of the verses from Nahum, just as an example of how they correspond to, Nineveh corresponds to New Orleans. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 10. It talks about, for while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble fully dried. And New Orleans is known as a place of conspicuous sexual immorality and alcoholic consumption. Then in verse 14, it talks about that the Lord has given a commandment concerning thee, talking about the city of Nineveh, that no more of thy name be stolen out of thy house of thy God, for I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. In Nahum 2:6, the gates of the rivers shall be opened. Now this is talking about Nineveh in the Bible, Nineveh of old. And the palace shall be dissolved. Well, New Orleans is surrounded by levees, or raised embankments, which help keep the river at bay out of the city, the Mississippi River. In Nahum 2:8, it says, but Nineveh is of old like a pool of water, yet they shall flee away. Stand, stand, shall they cry, but none shall look back. There's a mass exodus going on, and New Orleans sits as a bowl several hundred feet below sea level. So this is a very good description of New Orleans today. And it goes on, there's several of them, but the one that, chapter 3, verse 6 says, and I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and will set thee with a graven stuff. Well, Brother Dave just read that prophecy by Mark Cool, where he talks about seeing the dwelling under 20 feet of water, and it's there with garbage everywhere, and that's exactly what this verse is saying. And it does go on and on. So another thing about it was that Nineveh was also known as No, N-O, and that is the official abbreviation for the city of New Orleans. So there's many parallels when the Lord is speaking, but we praise God because He is keeping His elect safe, and he's using us to bring about His will and His purposes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. That was very good. I'll make a point, too, about Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will by no means clear the guilty. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind," and some of your Bibles actually say hurricane. "The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet." Another point I'd like to make about Nahum here is people hear Nineveh and they think delayed judgment. That was true in the time of Jonah. And, God spared Nineveh around something like 752 B.C. So Assyria actually could conquer Judah in around 701 B.C. The northern 10 tribes in 720 B.C. But the fall of Nineveh, the literal time when it actually did fall, was something like 612. And that's what Nahum was thinking about, something like 64 years after Jonah spoke to Nineveh. So when you read about Nineveh, or No, or N-O, or New Orleans, when you read about it in Nahum, it's talking about when it actually was destroyed. There wasn't any more delays here. It was actually destroyed. So that's very interesting. No, New Orleans. Anybody else there, too? Concerning the storm, Revelations?
Sister Bonnie has her hand up.
Okay.
Leslie sent word or reminder that in 1998, New Year's Eve, Bob Jones prophesied that at some point New Orleans would become an estuary, be completely underwater.
Yeah.
It's bound to happen, I mean.
Yeah, see if you can find that. We would love to have that revelation to put with the rest of them, and maybe we can stick them all on the site in the same place. And so Bonnie has something too?
She has her hand up.
Hi, Bonnie. Try to get Bonnie a little later there. God bless you, folks. Before we go on, I don't know how much more we're going to talk about this storm. If it is the storm that's being prophesied about, and it appears to be, a lot of people there in great trouble. Why don't we just join together in our faith and prayer here for an awesome miracle Yes, that is noisy people in the kitchen getting ice. That is what you're hearing there. I don't even know if the noisy people in the kitchen can hear this, but okay. So let's say a prayer for these people that God would do awesome wonders and miracles. I myself have a nephew and a niece that may be over there. My sister has a house there. My sister's a doctor in New Orleans, but she was out of town traveling, and she had told my other sister that her son was looking after her property. Well, I do hope her son is not there. But there are a lot of other people there, too, that that need our prayers right now. God's angels would supernaturally preserve them, right? Let's put our faith together. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you. We know we've heard that over 100,000 people were not, even though there was a mandatory evacuation, were not even able to be evacuated, Lord. So we know that some of your people are there too, Lord. And we ask you to supernaturally protect and preserve your people that are there, Lord. Let them be used by you for your glory there, Lord. Let your anointing be upon them, Lord. You said the flood would not overflow them. And Lord, we believe that. We believe you keep us through the fire, you keep us through the flood. If necessary, they will walk on water, but you will preserve your people there and do miraculously for them. We ask that your angels go forth to protect, preserve, do many wondrous miracles to provide for your people who are chosen, even those who are still in the world there that have been chosen by you from the foundation of the world, Lord. Preserve them so that when they come to this revelation and when this revival comes afterwards, they can give glory to you, that you use this to bring them to you. And Lord, we know multitudes of relatives around the country, multitudes of people around the world will hear of this judgment, and some will repent and will turn to you because of it. Father, we ask you to do a mighty miracle of resurrection life of Jesus Christ in souls everywhere. And Lord, if it's possible, have mercy. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Anybody else feel a prayer? You just go ahead and pray. We appreciate that. So, Terry, was you able to get Miss Bonnie? No? Okay. Well, we'll go on then. Well, you know, last week I just shared with you Mark Fritz's revelation, and I told you that we had two confirmations from last week that 9-1-1 there was going to be another attack on America. Well, yeah, one of them was Kate from Alaska, who returned home 7 years ago in 1998, and she saw an explosion in the sky above her, and God spoke to her more recently and told her that what she saw back then, 7 years ago, was an attack on America 7 years from that time. Well, she had returned home from Israel at the end of the first week of September, and 3 or 4 days after that, she saw this vision. So God tells her 7 years from that date. Well, 7 years from that date would be September, the end of September, and then 3 or 4 more days, which would be September the 11th. Okay? So it's very, very close, September the 11th. And that's when she saw an attack come on America. That's when God told her an attack would come on America. Fits very well with Mark's revelation. Olivia Long has a revelation on our site. I think the name of the article is Attack in September 11, 2005? Okay, that's the name of the article, okay? And Olivia Long's article concerning the attack that was going to happen before the end of the Hebrew year, which is October the 3rd. That's not long after September the 11th. It was going to happen before October the 3rd, 2005, in her revelation. Okay? And now, you know, we have all, there's a bunch more, by the way, in that article that I have on my site concerning different people who have seen this attack before the end of 2005. Quite a few people. And I don't know, six or seven confirmations there. Well, I just got an article sent to me yesterday. This one is not from Christians. This one is from government people. And folks, the world is starting to agree with these visions. Okay, let me read this article to you. This article is on the is in the Arctic Beacon. It was written by a guy named Greg Zemanski on August the 17th, 2005. And I'll read you the two headlines here. The headlines are: high-ranking military officer warns of major terrorist attack looming. Cheney consumed day and night with nuclear retaliation in Iran. That's, by the way, what I've been saying for some time, is that America has to go into Iran. They will do it because the Bible says they will do it. I'll share that with you in a minute. The next headline was, a situation of instability is taking hold of the military like it did during the Cold War. Two more retired generals now warn the world is on the verge of nuclear war, and terrorist attacks on the homeland are only weeks away. That was August the 17th. Only weeks away. Well, there's a lot of intelligence that's pointing towards this. Not only are the dreams and visions which were given outside of any intelligence that I know of, but also the intelligence and these retired generals are saying the same thing. Let me read on. It says, a high-ranking military officer has come forward saying a real danger exists for a large-scale terrorist attack in the coming weeks, adding, Vice President Dick Cheney spends his entire day consumed with issues of terrorism and a U.S. nuclear retaliation in the Middle East if an attack on American soil occurs. And of course, that's what I've said on this website now for a couple of months, that we were going to get hit and that America was going to retaliate on Iran. The retired officer, who remains anonymous, claims military factions are battling over how to address the terrorist threat, claiming the Iraq war, the threats being leveled to Iran, and Israel's stranglehold on the Palestinians has created instability within U.S. political and military establishments. These reports compound earlier reports made last week by others in the military that Cheney had already ordered Strategic Command, that's STRATCOM, to prepare a nuclear attack against Iran, a fact verified by Washington insiders, including Lyndon LaRouche, a former Democratic nominee for president, who now has taken up the role as spear thrower while getting the message out for several senators on Capitol Hill, not willing for political reasons to go public. So obviously he is speaking for other senators who don't want to get out in public and say this thing. Of course, we know the national news is never going to say such a thing. They hide from any such thing. The article goes on. Confirming military sources, LaRouche said he also learned this week that the plan for a nuclear strike against Iran has been in the works longer than thought. Actually, starting in 2004, after Ariel Sharon and his government made threats that Israel would take out Iran's nuclear facilities like it did Iraq in 1981. I think under the Bush administration time frame, we are weeks away from an attack on our homeland and also an impending nuclear catastrophe, said LaRouche, an outspoken Bush critic, in a telephone conversation with his Vermont political headquarters called LaRouche PAC. Although the high-ranking officer claimed the military is highly resistant to crossing the nuclear threshold, and it's possible very soon that the Islamic fundamentalists will cross the threshold first. So I'll read on. He warned, if it is crossed, there will be hell to pay for the next 50 years. Well, maybe not. Maybe we don't have 50 years. Okay? But I'll go on. These are worldly people, of course, so they don't believe in the end times. Okay? I'm going to read on. And to verify plans for an Iranian nuclear assault that is all too real, today, retired Major General Paul Vallely, went public with some shocking statements about how close the world actually is to a nuclear conflict. He said, it's similar to what we had during the Cold War. We tell the radical Islamists, if you launch one nuclear device against us anywhere, we will then irradiate Mecca and Medina. Because you know, all Muslims have to go there at least once in their lifetime. Change the regime in Iran and you change the whole Middle East. All roads lead to Tehran. Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda. I told Pentagon that my sources have also cited bin Laden in Iran. And they're also supporting Zarqawi. We could conduct operations, but they would be covert, to take out training camps in Syria and Iran. This is the general now. This is not Pat Robertson over here. This is the general speaking this. I'm not saying this, okay? With regard to the Iranian nuclear program, the Israelis have completed targeting for Iran, and bunker busters have already been given to Israel, something I found out several weeks back, that they had sent them over there. They want Israel to do the dirty work. Further raising eyebrows and fueling tension of another 911-like attack is the ongoing simulated nuclear terror attack called Exercise Sudden Response, being held this week from August 15th through the 19th at Fort Monroe, Virginia. Regarding the nuclear exercise, Captain Kevin McNamara, media relations officer, said the training session is being conducted officially by the Joint Task Force Civil Support beginning last Monday and ending Thursday. The exercise will focus on the Department of Defense's ability to support civil and federal authorities in providing a coordinated response to a nuclear explosion in a major U.S. city. The exercise will be a computer-based field training exercise with very limited troop movements. All unit-level troop movements and response activities will be simulated, said Captain McNamara. Some observers are worried since preceding or during most every other terrorist attack, including 9/11 and the 7/7 London bombings, the American and British governments were coincidentally holding a similar type training session like occurred in the attacks. Aha! Get ready for it and it will come, right? Prepare in faith and it will come, right? Well, some people say, yeah, they were training for that because they were planning to do it. Well, I think that would be rather dumb, don't you? Somebody to have a training exercise that the world knows about and then it happens. It looks kind of bad on the people doing the exercise, right? No, I don't buy that. That's paranoia there. Listen, obviously the world is seeing the same thing that the prophets are seeing, the dreams and revelations are seeing. We've got another attack coming. And by the way, I'm quite sure that it's going to bring a wonderful, wonderful harvest to the kingdom of God. I'm not proud, I'm not happy about it, because God's not either. God takes no pleasure in the judgment of the wicked. That's what the Bible says. He takes no pleasure in it. And of course, anybody that does is sick, right? Well, I believe I felt a few weeks back that George Bush was pushing Israel to give up more land in order to appease the Arabs. because he knew these things were coming. I believe I've seen and read some other articles since then that made me believe that. They are trying to appease these people right now with what they're doing, but actually they're just bringing it to pass. By the way, I want to point out to you that when Libya, you know, made up so-called with the West and gave up their nuclear hardware, they had already given some of it to the Islamic fundamentalists. And one reason they gave up is they knew that America was going to retaliate, and they didn't want to be on the other end of America's retaliation. Folks, according to Jeremiah 25, America is definitely going to hit Iran. Let me read that to you. Jeremiah 25, in case you don't know it, America is Babylon. Babylon is a prophecy of America. There's so many parallels to this. Both were the great eagle, both were the ruling kingdom of their time, both headed the world order, the one world order. Both of them were the great eagle nations. And the Bible says, by the way, in Jeremiah 25 and verse 9, "Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and I will send unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about. And I will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolation." Well, folks, we've been following right down the steps of what was is said here in Jeremiah 25. It lists the nations, you know, say from 15 on down through 26. And one of those nations mentioned is in verse 25. It mentions the nations in the Middle East that America has either politically conquered or militarily conquered or is in the process of doing it now. And in verse 25, it mentions, "And all the kings of Zimri and all the kings of Elam," which is, of course, Iran. The Elamites were the Iranians. "And all the kings of the Medes." So this is the Medes and the Persians, right? The Medes and the Persians. The Elamites were the Persians. We call them Iran and the Medes. Okay? Well, who did the Medes and the Persians conquer? Well, they conquered Babylon. But first, Babylon conquered them. See verse 26. "And all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world, which are upon the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak shall drink after them." In other words, if you go back to verse 15, you see that Babylon is being used of God to judge these Middle Eastern nations. And after Babylon conquers these Middle Eastern nations, these nations are going to come back and conquer Babylon. Shishak, in verse 26, is an ancient name for Babylon itself. So you see what's happening, folks? America is trampling down the Middle East. But these nations are going to rise up. In this text, it says after 70 years, verse 12, "And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity. And the land of the Chaldeans I will make it desolate forever. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against the nations." So God is using America to bring down these nations, and literally all the nations, because of a world war that's coming. I'll read verse 15 to you. "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto me, take this cup of the wine of wrath that from my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. They shall drink and reel to and fro and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them." And the sword that he's talking about in the text is Babylon itself, America. America is bringing a sword to the nations. It's going to cause wars that are going to frighten the whole world. A war that's coming. in the Middle East is going to frighten the whole world into saying, yes, this one world order is a good idea. Let's do it. So I've been saying that the next attack is going to bring a Middle East war. The Middle East war is going to bring a very swift new world order. We will see, I think, very quickly this come to pass. At any rate, it seems like the governments of the world are beginning to realize that this is coming, wondering what to do about it. Learning the thing they can do about it, because you know what? Every time America thinks that they don't want any more war and they want to back off, along comes another strike. And I know that people, you know, want to lay this up to a conspiracy, but folks, it's the Lord. If you read Jeremiah, it's the Lord that's doing this. Nebuchadnezzar was his servant that he was using to chasten the nations. And then he was going to use the nations to chasten Babylon. Folks, it's the Lord. Forget about the conspiracies. It's the Lord. He's raising up a one world order in order to chasten his rebellious people and to bring them to their cross. It's God Almighty that's doing it. Don't think you can stop it. These people are running around frantically wondering how to stop it. Well, I know that there are some paranoids out there that are saying, no, they're the ones that are fixing to do it. So that's okay. I don't care. You know what? It doesn't matter to me because I see the Lord is doing it. So I'm not worried about who brings it to pass. I'm worried about one thing, and that is, if a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace. We need to repent. We need to turn to God, and we need to put both feet in the kingdom. And to the extent God's people repent, to that extent they won't need a cross, right? The beast kingdoms are always raised up to bring this cross. So get prepared. I want to read this one here. This is very interesting because after this judgment, folks, there is going to be a wonderful harvest. A wonderful harvest of multitudes of people coming into the kingdom. You know, this is Priscilla Van Suthen. There will be a nuclear attack before the end of the year that will remove all complacency in this nation. That's what we need, folks. There is so much complacency, so much a lack of the fear of the Lord. You know, they talk about the... How many did we actually lose in the 9-1-1? I forgot how it came out. 1,700 or something like that? Anybody remember?
3,000.
About 3,000. It started out being 3,000, but it kept going down, 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 and just wasn't that many people in the buildings. Yeah, it started out something like 3,000. But anyway, however it turns out, can you imagine if 50,000 are lost over there in New Orleans? I'm not wishing that on anybody, but I'm just saying, can you imagine? You know, they went into two wars because of 9-1-1. Well, I won't be able to blame this on anybody but God. The whole point is so many apostate ministers in America stood up and cried when people said the judgment of the Lord was 9-1-1. They cried, no, God wouldn't do that to America. Good old America, you know.
Tarred and feathered those guys.
These are the most ignorant people that they think that America is good. These are ignorant people who know nothing about righteousness and nothing about the Bible. America is an evil nation. And it's God's righteousness that 9-1-1 is. And by the way, God is righteous if he strikes New Orleans and 50,000 people are smitten. Matter of fact, he'd be righteous if he brought a flood upon the whole earth. Let me tell you this. In the days of Noah, he would have been righteous to take Noah out too. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know what grace is, right? That's that unmerited favor. Even Noah wasn't righteous enough to miss God's judgment without his grace. Okay? Back to Priscilla's revelation. There will be a nuclear attack before the end of the year that will remove all complacency in this nation. But that will also lend fuel to Nazism that has tried to make progress in this nation. And I know that this is true.
Matter of fact, before I ever read this, I had this in my book. Matter of fact, I think it's in the chapter on Beast Covenant and Abomination. In fact, I'm just about to upload that chapter again. I've gone through it again, and I'm going to upload it again just as soon as I finish it. I'm almost through it. The Lord keeps adding to it, so I have to renew it. Priscilla said, "People being beyond reason will blame Israel and the Arabs, and neither will be safe from hereafter. Many vigilante retaliations will occur as lawlessness becomes stronger. Fear will grip many hearts. The good part will be that many idols will be torn down by this event, and there will be repentance from broken hearts this time. And harvest will ensue as I explode inside my people across the earth." Yes, God's people need to know this is the end time, more than just in their minds, you know, in their hearts. And I believe that God is about to pour out His Spirit after judgment. Escalation will ensue also with fervor, and there will be many storms and earthquakes and flooding and famine will increase again this coming year. Understand, the enemy who is the prince of the air is trying to oppose my harvest. So speak to the storms, speak to the earth and winds, and do not just accept everything as my will. Ask me for instructions, and I will speak to you. This is always true, folks, and I've learned to do it. You know, we're not here to do our will. There are many prosperity Christians who are full gospel Christians who believe in exercising their faith, but they believe in exercising it against everything that they consider bad and from the devil. But did you know some things that come from the devil are sent from God? And even hurricanes, yes, even hurricanes. I've tried to listen to God over the years, and sometimes the Lord's had me stop hurricanes and sometimes break them up. And the Lord started training me actually 30 years ago to deal with storms and rain and things like that. I had a lot of training from the Lord. He just brought these things my way, and He told me what to say and so on and so forth. But I'm going to tell you, I prayed, for instance, for Dennis when he came through just east of us. I did not pray. I didn't even pray till it hit land. Matter of fact, I asked the Lord, got nothing, did nothing. Till it hit land. When it hit land, I felt like the Lord wanted to just command it to be broken up. And actually, it was started breaking up right there. But, hey, it's, you know, my house is here. You know, but I'm still not looking for my own will. And like Priscilla was saying, you know, don't just do things automatically. You know, go to the Lord. It's His will that needs to be done in the earth. And I didn't do anything automatically, even though it's coming right here just east of my house, you know. So we need to pray about these things, folks. I haven't felt a thing. You know what? In all the dreams and visions that were sent me concerning this storm and where it was going, I haven't found anything that God said, don't permit it, not yet. It doesn't seem that God has spoken to anybody about that. Isn't that interesting? At any rate, I'll read to you. Isaiah 26. My Bible just fell open to it, so I might as well. Huh? Verse 8. "Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, we have waited for thee. To thy name, even to thy memorial name, is the desire of our soul. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee earnestly. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness." Now, how should we translate that? I would translate that revival. Yes. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal wrongfully and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. So, we pray a lot of times for favor when no favor should be prayed for. And people will not repent. Don't worry, folks, about God accidentally taking out one of his elect before they get saved.
Sounds stupid, doesn't it? See, God's not going to do that. It's not going to happen. Now, an awful lot of wicked will be taken out in order to bring a warning to His elect that He foreknew from the foundation of the world. The Bible says the wicked come in their stead. God does that. He does that to impress His people with His power and impress them with the fear of the Lord, which they need desperately at this time. And without it, many of the righteous would not be saved. God knows exactly what He's doing, and He won't fail. He knows what man needs. He knows what's in the heart of man. Let me read this to you, Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. How about that? See, God's got some folks that are still left behind over there in the path of this storm. But He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Kind of like that lady that gave her testimony on the 700 Club, swept out of a third story building by a storm surge, hung up in a power line that saved her life, and everything else was swept away. Everybody else in the building died. But that one elect person was saved by God Almighty. Can you imagine? When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I had a wonderful experience just like this. In fact, I had a couple of them just like this, where I just really didn't even get burned when I was a fireman. Praise be to God. He's able to keep you through everything, folks. Verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And I have given Egypt as thy ransom. A ransom, of course, is a price that must be paid for someone to be set free from bondage, right? See, God's people are bound. They're bound by the world, bound by the flesh, bound by the devil. But God says, I have given Egypt as thy ransom. Did you know, listen, there were 10 judgments that fell upon Egypt. And did you know that Israel tempted God in the wilderness 10 times. Now that's awesome. Think about that. Egypt represented the old man, you know, the world. And Israel tempted God, but Egypt took the heat. Said, I've given Egypt as thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in thy stead. Instead of you, in other words. Since thou hast been precious in my sight, and honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men in thy stead, and peoples instead of thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. And I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yea, whom I have made. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that's the elect, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He, and before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be any after me. I, even I, the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Well, we have a Savior that has determined to bring His elect through all this fiery judgment.